program.
Yeah.
Good morning, ma'am. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes.
Writing the meeting notice, I'm the acting board chairman for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and we'll be beginning our hearings today at Perryville. Can you state your name?
Janisha Champagne, right?
Okay, ma'am. We have some supporters for you, but can you just give me a second? I will be handling this hearing, and I need to get back to my seat position, so just give me one moment.
Okay, awesome. Phone calls.
Yeah, no, I just realized that, too.
So if you want to do it, you want to...
Yeah, well, just let me try. Ma'am, we're also going to try to patch in some phone calls. We have some supporters for you here in the room, but you also asked for phone calls to your boyfriend, Bishop Diggins. Is that correct?
Yes.
And your CPS attorney, Shannon McGlaugh?
Yes.
Okay, well, we're going to try to do this patch in this phone call right now. Thank you.
Thank you.
I believe Aunt Ethel Savage is in the room, correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Just give us a moment.
CRICD. You guys related to Willie Brown?
No. She got a little ass last name.
Is Mr. Bishop Diggins available?
Mr. Head.
Sir, we're having a hearing this morning for Ms. Janisha Bryce. Do you wish to attend?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to patch in another phone call. We also have some supporters here in the room, so just give us a moment. I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to patch in another phone call. Okay, sir?
Okay, no problem.
Thank you, Mr. Diggins.
Victoria.
Yes, ma'am. This is Lee Quinones with the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. We have a request from an individual appearing before the board today for CPS attorney Ms. McGlaugh.
This is her office, but she is in court hearings currently.
Okay. Go ahead.
Is it something that you needed to speak with her right now, or can we have her give a call to someone?
This is a request by an individual who is inside the Department of Corrections right now, who is having a revocation hearing, and she listed some individuals who she wanted to speak on her behalf, and one of them, that I know, is CPS attorney Ms. Shannon McGlaugh. The lawyers would like to speak on my behalf as well, and we have this phone number. So if she's not available, we're just going to continue with the hearing.
Okay.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you for your support.
Thanks.
Bye.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you for your support.
Mr. Diggins?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure you're still on the phone. Ms. Bryce, before we continue, just so that you know, we made a good faith effort to get a hold of Ms. McGlaugh, but she's in court right now. We do have Mr. Dickens on the phone and two supporters in the room, Ms. Ethel Savage and Ms. Diane Savage. So we're going to continue the hearing, okay, ma'am?
Yes.
Just need one moment.
Or probably about to lapse in the criminal arrangement company as follows.
violation of condition number 3 was demonstrated by failing to report to assigned parole officer at Western Regional Parole Office, 801 South 16th Street, Suite 1, Phoenix, Arizona, by 10 o'clock a.m. after leaving Weedway on November 9, 2018. Your whereabouts were known, thus you're an absconder. Ms. Bryce, is this true or false?
True.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. So I'm going to make that motion to pass this hearing from phase 1 to phase 2. The hearing is not over. Based on Ms. Bryce's admission, I move to find a delinquent as she violated the terms and conditions of her supervision and that she may have or have lapsed in a criminal race or company.
Second.
Agree.
Seconded by the Honorable Mr. Neal, agreed upon by the Honorable Mr. Johnson and the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. Okay, Ms. Bryce, we are going to continue with the second phase of the hearing, and it is during this phase that the board will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Grady, our in-house community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information about your case. If you will just stay on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly for questions, and you will be able to speak to the board in detail. Okay, ma'am?
Okay.
And we will also hear from your supporters later in the hearing, okay?
Okay.
Mr. Grady, if you will.
Ms. Bryce was released from DOC on September 14th of 2018. She was arrested on December 19th of 2018 by Salt River PD. She had no new charges. She returned back to DOC on December 19th of 2018. She had a CSED of April 24th of 2019. That reflects 40 abscond days. Current conviction, 2016, aggravated assault, 3 years, 6 months. Prior conviction, 2010, armed robbery, 4 years. She has 2 terms with DOC. Her CU, IR score is a 4-4, mental health score is a 3, substance abuse score is a 2. She has no gang affiliation. Prior term of supervision, 2012, TIS release, completed, 6 months. Disciplinary violations are moderate. She has no other arrests. Community risk score is a G2, V2.
Thank you, Mr. Grady. I'm going to play a quick few notes here, and then I'll continue the hearing. G2B2. 40 abscond days. Okay, Ms. Bryce, I am going to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. Although in this case, we do have some detailed notes in that summary. According to your warrant, you were released from the Department of Corrections without placement. Verbal consent was gained for you to reside with your sister, Kia Boyd, in Phoenix, Arizona. Is that correct, ma'am?
Yes.
On October 1st, 2018, you were arrested in Tucson for solicitation of prostitution, and upon return to Maricopa County, you were directed to make placement of traditions in Phoenix, Arizona. Again, is that correct?
Yes.
On October 2nd, 2018, you called to report that you had full-time custody of your child and traditions will not allow a child. You were referred to UMOM, 33070 East Van Buren in Phoenix, but they could not provide placement for a few weeks. UMOM provided St. Vincent de Paul as an option, but you did not try there. You were then told to have a family assist with the child or report back to traditions, and you failed to do so. On October 12, 2018, you referred to TLC, 9424 North 9th Avenue in Phoenix. You failed to report to TLC. On October 17, 2018, you were approved to reside with your aunt, Ethel Savage, 2634 North 43rd Avenue. On October 18, 2018, you were advised by UMOM that you needed to find an apartment on the approved housing list and that they would assist you with rapid housing, but you failed to comply. Finally, on October 30, 2018, you referred to VIVRE RCBM program, 7113 North 66th Drive, Glendale, Arizona. You made placement of VIVRE, no requests or approved upon it, no requests. All approvals were made for any other addresses. So it would appear that you were missing from community supervision for 40 days. What were you doing, or where were you living during that time?
At that time, I was staying with a friend, and I was working with UMOM and Rapid Rehousing, and I do have the contact information in my phone that can verify that I was looking for housing, and I did tell him ahead of time that I had custody of my son from the moment I walked into his office. I told him that, and that I needed placement with my child because I have custody of him.
Now, with respect, Ms. Bryce, how old is your son?
He's 5 years old.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay, so you were staying with a friend and still working with you, Mom? Is that the right summary?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Were you able to secure an apartment through you, Mom?
I was working with Rapid Rehousing, and I was looking for housing, but as Rapid Rehousing explained to me, and as I explained to my parole officer, Prince Dwayne, that it takes time to find housing because certain apartments doesn't accept Rapid Rehousing.
Okay.
So you have to find certain places that will accept Rapid Rehousing, and I kept telling him that as well.
And you stated you were staying with a friend. And certainly I'm not trying to get too personal, it's just to understand the case. Were you staying with Mr. Dickens?
No.
Okay. We don't have employment notes, so were you able to find any work while you were on community supervision?
I found Pro-Am, but they wouldn't hire me because of my background, and I had told him that as well. And I think it's the workforce inside the parole office. They referred me to Pro-Am.
Okay. We have some programming notes that you were directed to participate in Task Laboratories random coded your analysis testing. On October 5th, 2018, you filed a report. On October 11th, 2018, you were positive for THC and marijuana. On October 25th, 2018, you failed to report. On October 26th, 2018, you were positive again for THC, that is marijuana. On November 7th, 2018, you had diluted results. And then on November 8th, 2018, you had negative results, and we certainly commend you for that. So did you have a marijuana card, Ms. Bryce?
I didn't, but it was in the process, and it takes 7 days in order to get the card, and I explained that to him as well.
And were you a regular user of marijuana for self-medication reasons, or why were you using marijuana?
It was for medication reasons. I have bad anxiety and depression, and I have arthritis, and so I used it for my arthritis and my back.
But we certainly recognize that there is a legal means of using marijuana for medical purposes. But unfortunately, you do need to have a card, and it has to be verified by a parole officer if you're going to use marijuana while you're on community supervision. I have a question out of curiosity, and that is, you said you used it for anxiety, and I'm not questioning the medical piece, but does it actually help the anxiety for you?
Yeah, it does. It calms me down, and it keeps me like focused to where I can be able to think logically. Like I have bad anxiety to the point where I've been suicidal before, and it's also in records here in Perryville that I've been suicidal. I take meds as well now, Zyprexa, and that kind of helps me as well, but it puts me to sleep.
Understood.
Because it keeps me up and I'm able to function and be able to continue doing what I need to do.
Thank you, ma'am. Frankly, the reason why I asked you that question was more curiosity, because I've heard over the years that one of the side effects of marijuana is sort of a paranoia. and that's always made me wonder about whether or not that helps or hurts the anxiety. So it was a curiosity. And you're saying
yeah, it's certain marijuana
thank
that
you.
Makes you paranoid.
Thank you. Sanctions notes, you were staffed by your senior parole officer Underwood for having police contact. You provided a citation for solicitation for prostitution. You signed new conditions, and on this day you were moved to conditions halfway house on October 2nd, 2018. You were staffed with senior parole officers Menner and Underwood for having a positive UA for THC, again, marijuana. You were given information to contact your mom for housing, so it sounds like your parole officers were working with you. Follow-up note, on November 15, 2018, parole officer Prince received a call from Lapara Abagne, and I guess that's the child's father, and reported that you threatened to stab him in the head and kill Mr. Abagne. You threatened this, and again, this is according to the report, because he would not provide you with additional cash to buy transportation and get the son to Houston, Texas. Mr. Abagne had already provided money for a offender to bring their son to Houston, but you got off the bus in Wichita Falls, Texas after meeting the guy on the bus. You had provided Mr. Abagne with her locations in Wichita Falls, Texas. Last known placement was the Salvation Army on 403 7th Street in Wichita Falls, Texas. Ma'am, did you have some sort of interstate compact, or did you meet the state while you were on community supervision? Sir, Mr. Dickens on the phone. Static on your end? Did you move the phone or something?
Yeah, that was my phone, sorry.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you. Okay, my question, Ms. Bryce, was, were you on interstate compact, or did you leave the state while you were on community supervision?
I was not on an interstate compact, and I did not leave the state. The guy who called for, that made the statement, his name is Latross Habeo. So his name is spelled wrong, and he's been harassing me since 2012, since I've been pregnant, and he's been harassing my family as well. My aunt has a report on him as well through Detective Perry. So we made many reports on him. He is obsessed with me, and he tries to get me into trouble or get my son took in or hurt me, doing things to hurt me because I do not want to be with him. Since 2012, since I cheated on him, it's always been an issue with him. So he made this report, it's false.
Okay, a couple of follow-up questions. Just one second, Ms. Weiss. Mr. Brady, was there any indication in her notes that she left the state? And again, this is just to confirm that she didn't. Okay, we don't have any questions. Okay, thank you, Ms. Bryce. I just wanted to make sure of that. Sorry to put you on the spot. I just wanted to make sure that you were in the state. What were you going to say, ma'am?
Also, I'm working with CPS with him as well, and my attorney has also found out that he's been lying about a few things as well because he won't give them his social security number. He's lied about his whereabouts, and this man is just a harassment right now, and me and my family are working on filing a report on him. So whatever he said in this is just false, and there is a follow-up on my side and with my side.
Mr. Dickens, we keep getting static from you. Chance I could stop.
Is he able to, can he mute his phone?
Mr. Dickens, can you mute your phone for now?
Yeah.
All right, thanks. We appreciate it. We keep getting some static from, I guess, the phone rubbing against something.
No, yeah, I got you.
All right. Thank you, sir. And we will give you a chance to speak shortly, okay, sir?
Okay.
Thanks. Okay, Ms. Bryce, you said your attorney, so are you talking about your CPS attorney, Ms. McGraw, or do you have separate counsel?
Yes, my CPS attorney, Ms. McGraw. She was supposed to speak as well today.
Okay. As I stated earlier, she was tied up in court. So, but we will take testimony from the other supporters in the room. Again, not to ask you embarrassing questions, but you were arrested in Tucson for solicitation of prostitution, so did something happen with that case?
It was a misunderstanding. I don't know if you have the paperwork that the conditions of supervision, special conditions, at the bottom of my PO, Prince Dwayne, he wrote, do not work at a strip club. Well, I have went to Tucson to see a family member, and I was working at a strip club, and it was just a misunderstanding with the prostitution, that's why they let me go. And, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to double-check something again, just to be clear, but Mr. Gray, you will have a pending charge for solicitation?
No.
Okay, so we'll make sure that we go on that, too. Okay, so, ma'am, why did you decide to break off contact with your parole officer?
When I had left Big Brain on 11/09/18, that was the same day that I had just left my parole office. And so when I got back to the halfway house, they discharged me, and I started panicking, and I called him. So if you can check his phone reference, and you can see that I did call him. But he told me that if I got discharged from a halfway house, that I was going to go back to prison no matter what. So I kind of panicked, and then at the time I was dealing with CPS, and my son being taken because of this harassment with this guy harassing me and he called CPS on me, so I was dealing with that as well. So I thought maybe if I just deal with CPS and get my son back safe with my family, then I was going to turn myself in.
Okay,
but I
thought
at that moment that I had already had a warrant.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you for giving that information. I will have to cross-check again with our community corrections officer to see if you contacted them, but I'm going to say ahead of time, oftentimes, and it sounds like in this case your parole officer was working with you, there are means of continuing on community supervision, so I don't know what exactly was happening if your parole officer said that you were getting violated no matter what, but I will ask Mr. Grady if there's anything in the criminal notes as to when she last contacted community corrections and when the warrant was issued.
She requested the warrant on 11/15/18. Anything about her going back no matter what.
Did she call?
What date did she call?
Ma'am, what date did you say you called your parole officer?
I called the same day I was discharged, and that was 11/09. Well, that's the day I got discharged. Because I was trying to see if my PO can come to the halfway house to speak, to see if they can keep me there. But it was late at night when I got discharged, and I'm pretty sure he was not going to answer his phone, but I did call. So it should be in my phone records, and it should be in his phone records that I called. But I have no access to my phone right now.
There's nothing in the notes about a call.
Okay.
Ms. Kales?
Mr. Jones, did she leave a message? Or did she just call? Well, that's a good question, Mr. Johnson. Ms. Bryce, did you leave a message, or did you just try to call?
I sure did. I left a message as well. I was crying and I was panicking. I was asking him. I told him on the phone, like, I don't know what to do. They discharged me and I just left your office and I thought everything was good.
All right, Ms. Bryce. I have a few more questions. And I'm glad to hear that you won't, that you don't have pending charges out of Tucson. What caused the Salt River Police Department to make contact with you when you were arrested on your absconder warrant?
I'm sorry, can you rephrase that again?
You were arrested on your warrant for absconding by the Salt River Police Department. What were you doing that made the police have contact with you for that warrant? You're being given a chance to speak, Mr. Dickens, but I need to speak with Ms. Bryce on this issue. So what caused the Salt River?
I was going to say, because I don't know if she knows, but she was arrested because of an anonymous caller.
Well, thank you, Mr. Dickens, and again, you'll have a chance to speak to the board, but I'm asking on Ms. Bryce right now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Ms. Bryce, so again, you were arrested by the Salt River Police Department. Why were you in their jurisdiction, and why did they make contact with you?
Honestly, I don't understand that question.
Okay. Where were you when you were arrested for your warrant? When you were put back into the Department of Corrections, where did they arrest you?
Talking Stick Casino.
Oh, okay. That makes sense to me because Talking Stick Casino is in Salt River Reservation's jurisdiction. So their police department arrested you at Talking Stick, but what caused them to have contact with you at Talking Stick?
I got a phone call from a friend that I haven't heard from in like years, and apparently she wanted to meet me, and it wasn't her. It was Latron Habeo who made the complaint about me supposedly stabbing him in the head. But it was him, and he pretty much called the police on me and told them that I was there, and they arrested me for this warrant, the warrant that I had.
Okay, thank you. And that's what I was getting at. I didn't know what led to you being arrested. Okay, I'm going to ask my phone board if there's any questions for you at this point. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
Ms. Bryce, where is your child at now?
He's in foster care, and right now it's probably I might get custody back, or my aunt might get temporary custody. And that's the reason why I was hoping to be given another chance, because I'm also working with CPS, and I have resources that they want me to do, and I thought maybe it can go with parole as well. Since I only have 3 months left, I was trying to get in the Changing Lives Center of Women and Children, because they take children as well, and they help through Christian Family Care, serves children and families through foster care. So they help with foster care as well, and help me with getting my son back. And I will be doing UAs as well with CPS and Carol. So I have been asking for counseling, because I need counseling. And I also need counseling for my son. So I know that I've completed parole before.
Okay, so where was your son when you were in Tucson and you were working at the strip club and got arrested for prostitution? Where was your son at?
He was with my aunt.
Okay. Okay, and according to the notes that we have here, basically, just to kind of sum the state that they gave you a list that you just needed to, they gave you a list of apartments that accepted their process, and that all you needed to do was go to one of those, find one of those apartments, and they would approve you. So why, you said earlier you had a hard time finding a place, but
Yes, and that's exactly what I said. I did get those list apartments, and I went through each one of those listing apartments, and the apartments don't accept Rapid B housing. And just like I explained earlier, just because they gave me a list, if I can get the lady's number out of my phone, that's my proof right there. She will verify everything that I'm saying, because this is exactly what she told me. I'm getting the list apartments, but certain apartments don't accept Rapid B housing and won't accept my background as well, because I do have an aggravated fall charge. And so some of the things that I found, they were just saying, oh no, or we don't accept Rapid B housing. That they can't do the 3 months pay your rent. Only if it was a year long, they can do it like that. And I was trying, but it was more important that I have to go through.
Okay.
So it was just a work in progress.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any further questions from board members? Yes, Mr. Neal.
Hi, ma'am. I just have one question for you, ma'am. Where does your aunt live?
She stays on 26th.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Bryce, we've reached the point of the hearing when we'd like to have your supporters speak to the board if they want. So does anyone plan on speaking to the board this morning?
Yes.
Oh, hold on a minute. If you're going to speak to the board, I need you to approach the podium.
Okay. What's that?
It's this place with the microphone. Right in the middle of the desks here, there's a microphone. If you could state your name for the record.
My name is Ethel Savage. I'm Denisha's Bryce aunt.
Thank you, Ms. Savage. And what would you like to share with the board this morning?
Well, she's currently telling the truth about the harassment thing about her her baby daddy. I don't know if he's the baby daddy or not, but he was harassing me for a long time. And that's the reason why her son is in CPS, because he called, because I practically raised her son while she was incarcerated the full time. And he texts me every year with all different kind of messages, and I had talked to a police, he told me he was a police officer and everything. So I was like, he's a police officer, why he harassed me? Well, I told him about it, and they was telling me I needed to find out where he lived and everything, you know, to file charges. But I didn't know where he stayed. I didn't have any information. And he had my phone number that he was just texting me. So I knew that he played like he was dead.
Wait a second. Mr. Dickens, could you put your phone on mute? We keep getting interruptions from your phone.
Are you getting interruptions from my phone?
Yes, we hear background noises.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. All right, continue, ma'am.
Yeah, he had currently acted like he had passed away and had someone to call my phone. So from that case, I was like, I let my sister talk to him on the phone. And she had said, she was telling him to send paperwork and all this because he wanted to do a blood test for the child. So I was like, I don't want to talk to him, you know. So I let her talk to him. He had my address, then I was letting her know. I said, after Janisha talked to him and seen that he was still alive, I told her, I said, he got my address. Next thing you know, CPS is going to be knocking on my door, which what happened. So I'm currently running back and forth to court, you know, trying to help her and trying to get her kid out the system, because I'm the one that had him all this time while she was out there. And I kept telling her to get her medical card and to keep in touch with her PO, which I had talked to her PO. He seemed like a nice guy. And he was trying to help her and everything, but she was just not making it. I don't know what happened. But I feel that's why she's currently in the system, because of him. Because he's a talker, and he don't have it on. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you, ma'am. I'm gonna ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Any questions? Yes, Mr. Johnson.
I'm gonna ask. I'm just trying to understand how this guy, if she didn't have any contact with him, how he knew how to contact her parole officer and get that information.
I'm pretty sure she was talking to him.
Okay.
Because when I told her, I was telling her, I said, after everything he done by harassing me and everything, why would you still have contact with him, even if he is the father? You know what I mean? He never been in the boy's life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the boy don't even know him from, you know, he's like, that ain't my daddy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm like, she's kind of slow in her own way, you know? And I've been trying to tell her, though, she's been showing improvement this time. When she got out, she showed improvement. She had went and got his birth certificate, got him in school over there by where I live. You know, I was sending him to school. And so I think that she was trying to help her son, you know, because she put him in school where she knew that he was going to actually get to school over there where I live. You know what I mean? So she was smart about that. So I think she was pretty much trying, because she did get out and she did go to New Mom's, which they was waiting for her room there. I knew about that and all of that. You know, I've been a part of her life trying to help her out. So some of the facts are true, she's saying.
Thank you, ma'am. Ms. Sarah, I just want to commend you for taking the opportunity to raise a child. And no matter what happens, I hope that if in the end, if everything turns out, that you do get the opportunity to get the child, the son, out of the way, out of system, and yeah, be able to work with him on raising him, because it takes a lot of effort to start all over and start with a 5-year-old. So
I know. All my kids are grown.
Yeah, I do understand. Okay, but I do want to commend you for working with her and taking that time to actually do that. So
thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson, and thank you, Ms. Savage. Again, I will ask the other supporter, do you wish to speak to before the board?
No, I don't.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it, ma'am. Thank you, Ms. Savage.
All right, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Diggins, now you can take the mute off on the telephone. If you can state your name for the record.
Leon Bishop Diggins.
And what would you like to share with the board, sir?
I just want to say, ever since I've met her in September, she's always been 100% trying to take care of her son, looking for work, looking for a place to stay, establish herself. I know she told me before that she had a warrant, but she was trying to handle the CPS situation before she actually turned herself in. I remember she was saying she had to turn herself in, but she had that situation with the son's father, and she needed to take care of that. So all I want to say is that, you know, since I've met her, she's always tried to have a place of work, a place of employment, a place to stay for her child, and did everything she can do to make sure that he was 100%. So, I mean, I don't know how she got in the situation of actually having the warrant, but from the moment that she was with me, she's always been 100% on doing better than she's been doing prior to me meeting her. So I don't know if that's better than she was doing before, but she didn't seem like the type of person to be a problem. You know, it seemed like she actually learned from the time she was incarcerated, and she didn't want to put herself in that situation again. So that's pretty much.
Well, thank you, Mr. Bryce. Thank you for being so straightforward. And I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Dickens, you said you met her in September?
Yeah, I believe it was September.
Okay. So you met her in September, and she was arrested in October in Tucson. Did you take her to Tucson when she was working in the strip club and got arrested for prostitution?
Say that again. Say that one more time.
You met her in September, sir. She was arrested in Tucson in October for prostitution and working in a strip club. Were you the one who took her to Tucson?
No, I didn't take her to Tucson, but I was aware that she was a dancer. She was a dancer.
So were you there in Tucson with her?
No, I wasn't.
All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any further questions from board members? Okay, Ms. Bryce, we're getting very close to the end of your hearing. I noticed you were raising your hand earlier, but this is a chance to provide anything else you would like to share with the board. Now, we really ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told the board, but this is your hearing, so is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know or understand?
I just want to say, when I went to Tucson, I went completely by myself. And I just want to say that if you do give me another chance, I promise you I will complete parole, and I will also get help for myself and do what I need to do to be a mother to my child and get him out of CPS custody, and that you won't hear from me again. Like, I know that I can complete parole. But I don't think prison is a place for me, because I am suicidal, and I have really bad anxiety and depression. And then I'm stressing about my son being in foster care, and I get stressed out being here, and this isn't a place for me, and I need help. Like, I don't need to be in prison, I need help.
Well, thank you for your statement, Ms. Bryce. I'm certainly not a psychologist or a counselor, but I do encourage you, regardless of what happens in these coming weeks, because you do not have a lot of time left on your sentence, regardless of how this board votes today, to seek counseling, because it's concerning when someone says directly that they're feeling suicidal, and I feel for you. That's awful. But please take care of yourself. No one on this board wants to see you cause harm to yourself. Certainly, we're invested in seeing people succeed when they leave the Department of Corrections one way or the other. The board will be going into discussion now, and they sound like they were speaking to you directly. The board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona. So if you'll just stay on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, Ms. Bryce.
Thank you.
The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, this is a difficult case. I recognize that Ms. Bryce sounds very committed to dealing with the custody issue with her son. She has the support of her family in the room and a new friend on the phone. And I do appreciate what he offered to the board as well. I found it useful in terms of putting together a picture as to understanding what Ms. Bryce's predicament. What I'm struggling with is that we have a lot of notes in the case supervision summary, and it seems like her parole officer is really working hard to help her transition back to the community. And it's very hard to look past absconding from community supervision for 30 whole days. I heard what she said about attempting contact with a parole officer, but there doesn't seem to have been any follow-up for 40 days. I recognize those charges did not, charges were not pursued in Cuba County, but she did leave the county to work in a dance facility against her conditions. And then there's the business of ongoing use of THC. Again, I understand that she's doing it for self-medicating reasons, but she did not get a medical marijuana card. And when I put it all together, I'm just not finding her a suitable candidate for returning order supervision. But I want to say on the humane side, I think she might be in better condition, regardless of how bleak it sounds now, to be able to deal with these issues without community supervision and to pursue her own interests. But that's where I'll begin the discussion. Mr. Johnson?
I just want to say that I agree. I do think that I'm just having a little bit of problem with some of the stories, and you know, there seems to be, you know, some holes in the story. And I do understand Mr. Dickinson being on the phone and stating that She was really trying to take care of her son and get that in line. However, he was with her during the period of time that she went to Tucson and was arrested for prostitution and working in the strip club. And all of those things just don't seem to add up. Again, I do commend the aunt, Ms. Savage, for, you know, what she's doing with trying to take care of the son in a very difficult situation. I think that Ms. Bryce, if she could just take this time and mentally get herself together while she's incarcerated, so that when she is finally released, that she's able to get out and make good decisions, so that when she gets out, she can be more productive and get her son and take care of her son. And certainly she has a help with it. She started out making that effort when she got out and enrolled the kid in school over by the aunt's house, so that she knew that regardless to what happened, he'd be able to go to school. The aunt would take care of him. And well, not calling the aunt, but Ms. Savage would be able to take care of him and do that. But she just seemed to kind of, after doing that, kind of fall off and go her own way. And this issue with the baby's father, I don't know if that's the baby's father or not, but that's something that really needs to be resolved. But hopefully they're successful in working with CPS and maybe getting the child back into with Ms. Savage. I hate to see a kid in the system, especially at that early age, that they wind up in the system, because it could have a negative impact on them. But if they're able to get them out, Ms. Bryce needs to really make a decision as to what she wants to do with her life and really work on it. I think she, you know, doesn't have a long criminal history. She just has that aggravated assault and armed robbery, and she has moderate violations. She's been in custody. She has no other arrests. So she really still is a person I think could be a very productive person once she gets out. But I think it takes this time that she's in there to make her mind up. And she makes that decision to turn that corner and go the right direction, I think she'll do it.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any further input from your colleagues? Okay, then I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and that is based on the information provided to this board in warrant number 2018-W3292. As well as our discussion with Ms. Bryce and information provided by the Department of Corrections, I move to revoke community supervision as Ms. Bryce was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision and had lapsed or was about to lapse in the Commodore's company, inasmuch that she absconded from supervision for 40 days, in which we could not monitor her behavior in the community, and she did have ongoing use of marijuana without a medical marijuana card, and that is my motion.
Second. Agree.
Second made by the Honorable Mr. Neal, and please come again, Mr. Johnson, and the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. Okay, Ms. Bryce, I want to keep this as positive as possible because I recognize that you're feeling a lot of anxiety, that your supervision has been revoked, but you will be released on April 24th, 2019. I recognize that sounds like a long way away, but it's just a matter of weeks. Please pursue any programming and counseling that's available to you inside the Department of Corrections, especially any concerns you have about your personal well-being. When you are released from the Department of Corrections, you'll be free and clear of this sentence, and you'll be able to pursue your personal interests without interruption. We recognize that you want to be reunited with your son. You have the support of your family. I'd like to believe your boyfriend is on the telephone. We want to see a safe and productive return to the community. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion will take place. And Ms. Bryce, we do wish you the best and hope to never see you again in Orange. Thank you. And if you could, please give the phone to your CO3. Thank you, ma'am.
So,